Hello everyone, welcome to Lao Yang's Storytelling YouTube channel. OpenAI has issued a red alert for the entire industry. A memo circulating within OpenAI, called Code Red, is a red alert system with four levels. Green means normal, yellow means there are some potential problems brewing. Orange means there is a significant competitive threat or product crisis, and core business is being affected, including market share being lost and user churn. This triggers an orange alert. The red alert is the most serious level, requiring a company-wide mobilization, breaking down existing departments and structures, with the top leadership personally overseeing the situation, and requiring the suspension of many products. Currently, they have entered a red alert state, which should be the first red alert since OpenAI was founded. The first thing is to suspend products. It's not the usual step-by-step product development process anymore. Some products need to be suspended. The four things that are confirmed to be suspended are: first, advertising. OpenAI's advertising version has actually already been launched, but people haven't noticed because if you want to run ads on mobile phones, the first thing you need to do is add an advertising SDK to the mobile app. Now, someone has already cracked their latest version of the GPT Android app, and it contains an advertising SDK and advertising code. What is the advertising code for? After you apply for an advertising SDK from advertisers like Google and Facebook, you will have a code. All ads displayed through this code will be billed to you, or your click count will be tracked. So, they have already applied for the advertising code and everything, but this business is now being suspended. The second is AI shopping. AI shopping can actually be seen on my ChatGPT now, but it will be suspended for a while. The third is an AI health-related product, which is probably also a monetization product. This is also being suspended. And then there's AI news. OpenAI Pro version users can request daily morning briefings. RPL version, however, doesn't offer this kind of briefing. Now, this product has also been discontinued, so four product directions have been halted. Employees may be temporarily reassigned to different teams. Usually, there would be a note after this, but they didn't specify what it is. Typically, in other companies, a red alert is followed by layoffs or a hiring freeze, meaning they stop hiring. But OpenAI definitely can't say that now, because if they did, the whole thing might collapse. So, they only mentioned this much. What are they doing with this red alert? They're focusing on improving the model, saying they want to provide personalized services to over 800 million weekly active users, allowing everyone to customize their interaction with ChatGPT. After GPT-5 came out, many people felt it was too rigid. They preferred GPT-4.0. Now they're saying they'll try their best to provide personalization. What's the biggest benefit of personalization? It's user retention. For example, if JAM9N updates, I might leave. I have no loyalty, no retention. But if it understands me well, I'll be more likely to stay. OpenAI says they're increasing personalization to increase retention. If you like playful interactions, it will be playful. If you like a more human touch, it will provide that. They want everyone to have a personalized communication experience with GPT, so that if you switch to another platform, you immediately feel uncomfortable. That's the first thing they want to do. The second thing is to improve image generation, allowing users to create various content, from interior design models to animated photos. OpenAI's image creation has always been relatively poor. It was originally called DALL-E, then Imagen, and then GPT-4.og, which had a very unfavorable work style in its early stages. At the time, it was quite popular for a few days, but its various details were basically uncontrollable. Also, OpenAI isn't really innovating much in that area. To this day, they still can't produce 16:9 images. Now they're saying they need to improve this area because they've noticed that Google Pro has already attracted a large number of users, so OpenAI needs to continue strengthening this aspect. Their S2 model was popular for 2 days, but now it's already faded away because that thing was also very difficult to control. The next thing is to improve the model's performance and compete with others. They need to send various models to an open, anonymous competition arena to compare them and see what kind of products people prefer. This is the third thing they need to improve. The fourth is to improve the speed and reliability of GPT. ChatGPT is quite slow, especially when you're making it think. Sometimes I prefer using Doubao because it's faster. Sometimes ChatGPT freezes, It's not a network problem, but it still freezes. They plan to improve this area. The fifth is to reduce excessive refusals. They need to improve the situation where the chatbot refuses to answer benign questions. This should be the adult version that was originally planned to be launched in December. This part hasn't been cut. They will continue to prepare for the launch in December, and we might soon see something called age verification. First, they need to determine how old we are before they can determine what kind of questions they can answer for us. Originally, PT, including its image generation and Sora 2 videos, had very high sensitivity. If you slightly touched on something or had any questionable content, it would refuse everything. Originally, they thought Google would be the most sensitive, but after JAMN3 came out, and including NP Pro, they realized that they were completely unrestricted. We'll just answer you, and you're responsible for the content afterward, we won't be responsible. OpenAI says, even listed companies don't care anymore, and my new company isn't even listed yet. Why should we bear the burden for you? We also need to reduce the phenomenon of excessive rejection. These are the five major improvements they are preparing to make to the model. Now, improvements to the large model are being rapidly recommended. Have you seen my cover image? The cover image shows four penguins stewing a large pot of soup. The soup contains green onions, garlic, and onions. The Penguin Brothers have already gone out to participate in testing wearing masks. The two models they are currently working on include one called Shallow Piece, which should be launched next week or the week after. This is the next generation pre-trained large language model. However, it is uncertain how many people will be able to use it after it is released. Then, the garlic model is called GIC, which is a relatively smaller model derived from new pre-training and knowledge distillation. The previous Shallow Piece model is expected to be slower. There is also the Gallic model, which is a faster model. The Gallic model is currently being trained, using various error messages from the Shallow Piece training for post-training and information distillation. This should be released in the first quarter of next year. The current named model has already been sent out for testing. Now, this is the new normal. Before the model is released, it will be tested in various testing grounds. Of course, it didn't go to LM Arena for testing. LM Arena is a public testing ground. It went to Design Arena, which is a relatively closed testing ground for internal use. During testing, it should have used Shallow Piece, but it also divided Shallow Piece into four names: Emperor Penguin, Rockhopper Penguin, Macaroni Penguin, and Adelie Penguin. These should be the names of four penguins in a movie. The Emperor Penguin was given the highest inference quota, the Rockhopper Penguin a little less, and the Adelie Penguin was given no inference quota at all, directly outputting a quick result. Now, OpenAI's code has been leaked, and it shows the names of these four penguins. What are the inference configurations? Testing has already begun. Actually, OpenAI issued a yellow alert last year, and the final result was somewhat disappointing. Last year, their large model had some problems. There were issues with alignment, and Sora's training process wasn't very smooth, experiencing many problems, which is why the yellow alert was issued. But after the yellow alert, they went down a different path, moving from simply stacking parameters to the O-series models, the inference models, which essentially resolved the yellow alert. In December of last year, they held 12 consecutive days of press conferences. The press conference started on December 5th, and on December 5th, they released the OE academic version. On the 6th, they released reinforced fine-tuning, mainly targeting medical and legal fields. The next day, SA1 officially went online. After SA1 went online, there was really no reaction. After everyone saw it, they felt it was somewhat inspiring, but that was about it. After S2 came out, there was a lot of excitement for a week or two, but after the excitement died down, the retention rate was basically zero. What is retention rate? It means if you install the software today, you're still playing it tomorrow, that's called daily retention. If you're still playing it a week later, that's called weekly retention. It's been about a month now, and basically nobody's playing it anymore. I remember I even made a program talking about this during those 12 days of press conferences, but my inner feeling was that OpenAI was starting to release features in small increments, just putting out some insignificant little features. In August 2025, with the release of Nano Banana, Gemini's user base rapidly increased, and OpenAI had already started issuing a yellow alert. By December, it was officially upgraded to a red alert. Some people have seen that many of the products that are currently stopped are actually already completed in their Android and OS versions. The switch just hasn't been turned on yet. Don't think that just because the software is updated, this function will be available. I can use it as soon as it goes online. It's not like that on the website. The things on the website can be used immediately after the features are launched. But if you want to add these features to the Android app or iOS app, you need to update the app. What's the normal situation? The feature isn't enabled yet. The code is written in, but the switch is off. Then, the switch is turned on in the cloud, and the feature can be officially launched. It's impossible to wait until the feature is launched before updating the version. After the version is updated, Google and Apple still need to review it. It's not something you can have immediately. So they already have these ads, shopping features, and other things in the current version. Now OpenAI has to think about whether to pursue long-term goals or short-term gains. Advancing the underlying large language model is for the long term. Entrepreneurs dispersing their resources and increasing revenue is a short-term gain. In fact, everyone already suspected during GPT-5 that it didn't really invest a lot of energy in retraining the underlying model. Now everyone suspects that GPT-5 was trained using post-training, continued training, or reinforcement learning on models after GPT-4.0, or even directly encapsulating some agent features into the API, or adding some system prompts. Why not do the latter? Many problems that entrepreneurs encounter, OpenAI is also encountering now. What are the problems that entrepreneurs encounter? If you want to work on the basis of a large language model, you must stabilize the underlying architecture of the large language model. If the underlying architecture is unstable, and it's upgraded every day, and every upgrade brings drastic changes, how can you build projects on top of it? It's impossible. OpenAI now wants to increase revenue and make money, so it must create some new things on the basis of the original model and build some superstructure. It can only keep the underlying layer stable. Therefore, for a long time, it has been working on the original basic model. Various kinds of reinforcement learning and even just modifying some system backend parameters were used to get by. Now everyone is dissatisfied because after Gemini 3 came out, it was found to be leading across the board. J3 was trained from scratch, and when you're patching and fixing on top of the original foundation, it's more difficult to make further breakthroughs. However, with Gemini 3, it's like building a very strong foundation from the ground up, allowing it to do various new expansions on this basis. Each new feature added will be better than the features developed on a relatively weak foundation. So OpenAI said, "No, we need to retrain the underlying model from scratch." Why did OpenAI sound the red alarm? It's because M3 came out and they couldn't keep up. Of course, some people also said that DeepMind's 3.2 wasn't good enough. This is definitely related to the fact that J3 and No Banana Pro attracted a large number of users. First of all, OpenAI encountered a big problem. Its user engagement time was being surpassed. When we measure user data, we calculate daily new users, daily active users, monthly active users, 4-day retention, 7-day retention, 30-day retention, and then calculate the average user session duration for each user. While OpenAI's user count or user activity might be relatively high, its user session duration is not long enough, which is a significant disadvantage. Why? The longer the user session duration, the more opportunities you have to monetize, whether it's showing ads or leading users to buy things. If a user only stays on the platform for a few seconds or minutes, the chances of monetizing through transactions become much smaller. OpenAI has a lot of short interactions. Many active users just come on, say hello, ask about the weather, and then leave, without engaging in deep or long research. Whereas with J3 or Cloud 4, these models are more focused on long-form communication. Why? Because they are productivity tools. Users are working on them, not just chatting idly. In this area, OpenAI may have already lost. If your user engagement isn't high enough, monetization will ultimately fail. User activity dropped by 6% in a week, which is truly catastrophic for OpenAI. Hamin's weekly active users increased from 450 million in July to 650 million in October, and that doesn't even include the data after the release of Gem 3 and Nobana Pro. It's probably around 700 million now. OpenAI's weekly active users are 800 million, a figure announced at the OpenAI Developer Day on October 6. The situation is constantly changing. If OpenAI drops further and Jam increases further, it's highly likely that Jam's weekly active users have already surpassed OpenAI's. This is an unbearable blow for OpenAI, which has always been a leading company in this industry. Of course, if you calculate traffic from the overall ecosystem, that's Google bullying the competition, because they also have Android, Chrome, Search, YouTube, and Workspace, including Gmail. They've now integrated all of these into Jam. If you calculate it this way, Jam's weekly active users might already be at 2.311 billion, which is completely incomparable. What's another problem for OpenAI? They're saying that next year's revenue growth might be in the single digits. Every AI company's annual revenue growth needs to be several times higher. Even a 5% or 9% increase isn't enough. Now, they've cut back on advertising and e-commerce, cutting off their revenue streams, so there might not be such significant growth next year. OPIC grows tenfold every year, but IC's base is relatively small. OpenAI has also grown tenfold or at least two or three times in a few years. The revenue has increased significantly. Last year it was 3.7 billion. This year it's between 15 and 17 billion. So, it should have increased by more than four times. The original plan was for revenue to reach 29 to 30 billion by 2026, which means at least doubling. However, it seems quite difficult to achieve this now. Currently, they can only generate revenue through subscription fees and API tokens. Moreover, after JM3 was released, many people canceled their OpenAI subscriptions, which is also very painful for them. Do you know how much money OpenAI expects to earn by 2030? It's $200 billion. At the current growth rate, this claim will be completely debunked. Where did this $200 billion come from? It wasn't something we just made up, it was mentioned by Sam Altman. He said they hope to reach two-thirds of Google's revenue. Google's revenue last year was over $300 billion, so two-thirds would be $200 billion. But I think the difficulty in achieving this will be very high. Even if they earn $200 billion by 2030, before 2030, OpenAI has signed various computing power contracts worth $1.4 trillion. This gap cannot be filled. Moreover, these contracts have already been reflected in the stock prices of companies like Amazon, Oracle, Nvidia, and Microsoft. These stock prices have already risen. If you ultimately cannot fulfill these contracts, it will lead to a complete collapse. OpenAI has been burning money, so they are continuing to raise funds. SoftBank invested $40 billion earlier, not $40 billion, but SoftBank invested the majority, and others contributed a little, but the total was $40 billion, and its valuation reached $300 billion. Later, through employee stock transfers, the valuation was pushed to $500 billion. How did the valuation increase through employee stock transfers? They said that employees transferred old shares, and they were transferred at a valuation of $500 billion. If someone is willing to buy, then everyone will acknowledge its $500 billion valuation. So now, among all the unlisted unicorn companies, OpenAI is the largest, and it's recently seeking another $100 billion in funding. If they secure this funding, I estimate its overall valuation could approach $1 trillion. This is also a huge test, because originally, you were the leader, and you had many cards to play. Nobody knew how many hidden weapons you had. In such a situation, these investors were willing to put money in, but once someone surpasses you, it becomes a bit difficult to get capital to blindly pour in money again, and $100 billion is a huge amount of money. This is difficult for anyone, whether it's Sam Altman or anyone else. Anthropic, not as prolific as OpenAI, is also preparing to quickly go public and cash out. Other companies like xAI are still maintaining small-scale operations. Elon Musk's fundraising ability is much stronger than Sam Altman's, because he is, after all, the richest man in the world. He has Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, and a bunch of other companies. He can easily raise money by pledging some shares. Sam Altman, on the other hand, relies entirely on his reputation to raise funds. He doesn't have anything else. So why is a red alert necessary at this point? They can't continue like this. Why is OpenAI being crushed by Google? It had been leading for so long. OpenAI is like pushing a cart uphill, while Google is like pulling a cart uphill. OpenAI rents its computing power from Microsoft, and it will also rent from Google, Amazon, and Oracle in the future. They've already written the agreements with Oracle for hundreds of billions of dollars in computing power, and Oracle has already listed this on its financial statements. Google, on the other hand, uses its own Google Cloud chips and its own cloud services. Everything is its own. There wouldn't be such immense pressure. Pushing a cart uphill, the pressure is definitely going to be on you. You have to overcome all sorts of friction. Pulling the cart uphill would be much easier. What's the next step? OpenAI wants to expand its scenarios. For example, it wants to do office, search, shopping, and advertising. What's the biggest difficulty it faces? It needs to compete with Microsoft, its biggest shareholder. Microsoft doesn't want it to do this work. They want OpenAI to just focus on building the foundational models, and Microsoft will handle the money-making aspects. They don't want OpenAI to compete with them, but OpenAI now wants to expand into these scenarios, which requires competing with Microsoft. They need to steal users back from Microsoft's territory. When they found they couldn't compete, what did they do? They went to Apple. They stopped providing services to Microsoft and went to Apple to provide better services. This is also a manifestation of the growing estrangement between them. Microsoft, on the other hand, has created a whole bunch of Copilot products, achieving full scenario coverage: web, search, office, and even Windows. But the two sides are completely at odds. They can't act in unison. They can't collect data from new scenarios to retrain the models and adjust the products. They're both trying to eliminate each other. Microsoft says, "I'll make you so breathless that I'll just acquire you." OpenAI, on the other hand, thinks, "I wonder if I can grow big enough to break free from your control." With both sides harboring such intentions, how can they possibly cooperate? Looking at Google, however, Gemini is already integrated into Android, Chrome, Search, YouTube, Gmail, and Workspace. All these products are under the same roof. The top boss has given the highest directive: concentrate resources to get things done. All these scenarios, the data collected can help Jam move forward. It's another push and pull situation, isn't it? OpenAI wants to achieve full coverage and needs to compete with Microsoft. Google also wants to achieve full coverage. The top brass says, do it, and everyone does it. Anyone who doesn't cooperate gets fired. So this level of cooperation is also a push and pull relationship. What's the next push and pull? OpenAI needs continuous funding. It needs to constantly prove to the industry how amazing it is, because it's constantly losing money, constantly needing to raise funds, and the losses are increasing, not decreasing. It's not like they'll suddenly turn a profit someday. No, they lose more money every year than the year before. Although they're earning more money, the rate of loss is faster than the rate of earning. This is the current situation for OpenAI, so they need to constantly put on a show for the outside world. Google, on the other hand, has money. Last year's net profit was over $100 billion, completely self-sufficient. The only thing Google needs to be careful about is not moving too fast. If they eliminate the revenue and profits from search advertising without other income to compensate, Google will be in trouble. As long as they're a little more stable, the money Google earns is enough for them to expand. How much is Google's computing power expenditure this year? $50 billion. Last year they earned $100 billion, and they took half of that for computing power expenditure. It's a completely comfortable situation. It's another push and pull. One constantly innovating, the other saying, I have money, I can put it in my left pocket and still have plenty left over. That's also why OpenAI is being crushed by Google. It's truly a push and pull story. Now, others are also coming out with their opinions. The CEO of Anthropic came out and gave an interview, basically confirming that Anthropic plans to go public next year. They've already signed an agreement with a law firm, saying they're preparing for an IPO, and that law firm is the same one that handled Google's IPO. Now, they're also starting to look for underwriters, because they generally list on NASDAQ, and for a NASDAQ listing you need. Some companies are already starting negotiations for an IPO. Their CFO was the former CFO when NB went public. All these people are assembled, preparing for the IPO. Many people say that going public means success, but don't think that way. We've repeatedly said that going public means you've passed the high growth phase and should now focus on stable development. Of course, for these AI companies, stable development means growing by, say, 30% annually. You don't need to grow 10 times or 2 or 3 times every year, but you still need to grow by 30 to 50% annually. If, after going public, you only grow by 9% annually, a single-digit growth, your stock price will collapse. Why not go public during high growth? Because during high growth, many things can't be compliant with regulations. Going public requires compliance, and once you're compliant, your hands are tied. I've been through a company's IPO process. Before going public, the company's finance department had less than 10 people, maybe 6 or 7. After going public, the finance department had over 200 people. With so many finance people causing trouble and conducting various regulatory audits every day, how difficult would it be to run the business? So, don't go public during high growth. If OpenAI goes public next year, it could be the largest IPO in history. The official valuation after raising $1.3 billion in September is $183 billion. Recently, there are rumors that Microsoft and Nvidia are preparing to invest again, pushing the valuation to $300 billion to $350 billion. But currently, this hasn't been officially announced. So, what scale is needed to become the largest IPO in history? To date, the largest IPO in human history is Alibaba, which listed in the US for over $160 billion. The second largest is less than $100 billion. IPOs exceeding $100 billion are very rare, and Alibaba's case isn't quite the same. Why? Because it was originally listed in Hong Kong, right? It delisted and then relisted in the US. The above isn't a real IPO. An IPO is the first public offering, and this is already considered a secondary offering. Now, a large number of unlisted giants are lining up to go public. The most valuable is OpenAI at $500 billion, who's second, SpaceX at $400 billion, and in between there's ByteDance at $480 billion, and another one, 11, at $230 billion. If OpenAI doesn't hurry up and go public next year, it won't be able to officially declare itself the largest IPO in history. If ByteDance goes public next year, it will be difficult for OpenAI to surpass it, mainly because it's an absolute leader in the programming field, constantly pushing the boundaries. We don't have any new technology, we're just continuously scaling up, piling on parameters, collecting data on the existing foundation, and continuing to train and reinforce learning. It completely avoids competing in the consumer market, because once you compete in the consumer market, you have to attract individual users. Then, it will encounter the same problems that OpenAI encountered. You need to compete with Apple, Microsoft, Google, and Meta, these giants in the consumer market, for users, which is very expensive. Moreover, OpenAI said that we never engage in any red alert situations. We just proceed step by step and do our own thing. This red alert thing is actually something inherited from Google. 3 years ago, after ChatGPT was released, Google said we need a red alert, life is unbearable. They endured for 3 years, and then JAMN3 completely turned things around, and now it's OpenAI's turn. Anthropic is now accelerating its IPO process. Once I'm listed, the rest is none of my business. All investors can directly sell their circulating shares, and you've all successfully gone public. That's it. Why do many companies consider going public as an indicator of successful entrepreneurship? Because after you go public, everyone, whether it's the founders or investors, can convert the shares they hold into circulating shares and sell them. In Chinese terms, you can harvest the leaks, referring to profiting from retail investors. OpenAI's red alert is actually a red alert for the entire industry. Why do I say that? A new industry or an independent industry is most afraid of two things. What's the first thing? It's the collapse of the leader. Once the leader collapses, it proves that this industry is unviable. There's no future for this industry. As the leader, if OpenAI collapses, everyone will think that the entire AI industry is problematic. What's the other thing they're afraid of? It's the leader taking over everything, refusing to cooperate with anyone, because everyone working in this industry will be shut out. The collapse of OpenAI is completely unacceptable for the industry. Companies like Amazon, Google, Microsoft, SoftBank, and AMD are all tied to OpenAI. If OpenAI collapses, they will suffer extremely heavy losses. So, you might ask, wouldn't it be okay if Google became the leader? This is the second thing the industry fears most. The leader taking over everything. Therefore, Google becoming the leader is even more dangerous than OpenAI collapsing. Google has its own chips, its own cloud, its own models, its own applications, its own ecosystem, and it can even monetize everything. If it takes over, it doesn't need to cooperate with anyone. It can completely dominate and play the game alone. Amazon, Google, Microsoft, SoftBank, Nvidia, and AMD would all be ruined. Therefore, Google cannot succeed. Google is truly at odds with the world in this industry. Why did OpenAI's internal memo get leaked? Is it because OpenAI and the leaker are in cahoots? That's not the case. Any internal memo that gets leaked is definitely allowed by the company. What OpenAI is doing with this red alert is not just adjusting internal strategies, It's intimidating the entire industry and the financial sector. They're saying, give us money. If you don't give us money, we'll collapse, and then you'll all die. Quote, so, that's what they're doing. Many people are still wondering whether AI will burst. The big short sellers are still shouting that AI is just a bubble, and everything you're saying is wrong. Is this thing really a bubble? First, let me confirm one thing with everyone. AI is definitely not a bubble. Has anyone ever seen a bubble where a large number of people lose their jobs before the bubble bursts? Previously, people would lose their jobs after the bubble burst. With AI, while everyone is investing heavily in stocks or reaching record highs, a large number of people are losing their jobs. Since it has already affected so many people's jobs and livelihoods, it absolutely cannot be a bubble. OpenAI is definitely walking a tightrope right now, but there are probably many hidden projects within OpenAI. They just need to focus their efforts on sorting them out and bringing out what they can. OpenAI cannot collapse in the short term, because SoftBank and Microsoft still have a lot of cash on hand. OpenAI doesn't have much cash, but these other people do. Other people who have already invested, including those Middle Eastern tycoons, don't want to see OpenAI, the leader, collapse like this, nor do they want to see a company like Google, which controls everything from top to bottom and is completely closed loop, rise up completely. Everyone is wondering why the whole world is against China right now. We claim to have a complete industrial chain. We manufacture everything from beginning to end. We don't need to cooperate with anyone. We can choke anyone's neck at any time. Google is also in a similar state. To summarize, OpenAI has sounded the red alarm. The internal information leak was completely intentional. It was meant to scare people. We must protect OpenAI. We're all in this together. If I die, none of you will survive. There should be new models to play with soon. What's truly worth looking forward to this month? The adult version of OpenAI's ChatGPT. It's not that we necessarily need to use the adult version for anything specific. But once the adult version is released, Google Cloud probably won't compete in this area. Google has always been a Puritan company and is quite strict in this regard. Maybe after the adult version comes out, everyone can continue to have fun again. Okay, that's all for today's content.